Pastor Dave Cass, I'm the pastor of adult ministries here at this church. I appreciate the opportunity of carrying on with our pastor's messages in Mark, answering the question, who is this man? In your bulletin, you'll see that you have an outline. We're going to find out that this man is a powerful teacher, and we find out and we verify that he's a powerful teacher by his words, his works, and his authority. And those are the three things that we'll be focusing on this day as we look at the Lord Jesus Christ as a powerful teacher. Before we look into his word, let's just ask the Lord to bless this time together as we open his word. Our Father, we cannot do this without your guidance, your direction. We need the Spirit of God to empower the Word of God, so that it has great course and power and authority within our hearts. And Father, without you doing your work and without the Spirit of God doing his, we cannot accomplish anything. Father, we pray that this day would be a special day. Help us to learn from this teacher, and we will thank you as you accomplish that within our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. A.W. Tozer has a couple quotes that I'd like to read before we look into the passage of Mark chapter 1, beginning at verse 21. You can turn in your Bibles there. A.W. Tozer said this, "The most important book in all the whole wide world is the Bible, the inspired Word of God. And the most intolerant teacher that ever addressed himself to an audience was the Lord Jesus Christ himself." Truth must be understood by inward illumination. When we know truth, until that time we don't know. So Jesus said, "If you will follow in, or if you will continue in my words, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth." You can fill your head with knowledge, but the day that you decide you are going to obey God, the knowledge will get down into your heart. You will know. Only the servants of truth can ever know truth. Only those who obey can ever have the inward change. A.W. Tozer. You look with me at this moment as we look in Mark chapter 1, just verses 21 and 22, and let's see the powerful teacher and the way that we can verify that he's a powerful teacher, and that's by the words that he uses. The words that he uses verify the fact that he's a powerful teacher. Verse 21 says, "And they went to Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and began to teach." Now let's take this slowly but surely as we go through this pretty large portion of Scripture through verse 34. But let's look at this. First of all, it's verified by his words that he spoke in Capernaum. Now, Capernaum is important in the sense that Jesus Christ has Capernaum as his main base of operations. We have a map here that can show you where Capernaum is, and Capernaum is right at the top there. As you see it, it's above the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee is approximately 8 miles wide by 12 miles long. It's at the top. It's right on that body of water, right on the edge there. It was a direct route from east to west, from Egypt to Damascus. It was a very important part of society for that day. And Jesus Christ was basically rejected from his hometown of Nazareth, so he chose to make Capernaum his headquarters. There's over 22 references to Capernaum in Jesus Christ's ministry in that place. Jesus Christ did an awful lot of wonderful things there. There's There's only one time that Jesus preached in Nazareth. That's the time that Jesus walked into the synagogue and he took the book of Isaiah and he read the book of Isaiah and he said, "Today these things are fulfilled." That's the only thing that is recorded about Nazareth, his hometown. But the other 22 references are all about Capernaum. Now, what's interesting about Capernaum is this. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 20, we read, "Then Jesus began to denounce the cities in which most of his miracles were done because they did not repent." And notice this. "And you, Capernaum," Jesus said, "will not be exalted to heaven, will you? You will descend to Hades, for if the miracles that had occurred in Sodom, which occurred in you, it would have remained to this day. Nevertheless, I say to you, that it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you." Isn't it amazing to think that Capernaum was Jesus' main base of operation? He did many wonderful things there. He spoke many wonderful messages there. And yet at the same time, the familiarity with Jesus Christ led Capernaum not to be one of those towns that repented. Isn't it true so often with us that sometimes familiarity with something can lead us not to listen to what the powerful teacher is trying to say? Capernaum had all these things happen in her, and yet at the same time, she is declared by Jesus himself as someone who is going to fall under great judgment, because the judgment will come upon the amount of miracles that had been done in her, and yet she did not repent. How important it is for us that we who become familiar with Bible preaching every Sunday, who have community groups that teach the Bible, we present Jesus Christ in many different ways and facets, and of course, being your Savior and the one who wants to guide and direct you in your life. And isn't it a shame to possibly think that familiarity could cause us not to repent, not to make our life right, not to have this powerful teacher impact our lives, even though he's in our midst? It's something to think about. Well, he went to Capernaum, and immediately. Now, one of the things that's special to Mark is this word immediately, or you might have it straightway. It means with earnestness. It means fast. It means that Jesus was moving quickly. You know that the overemphasis of Mark is on the person of Jesus Christ more so than what he says, and we'll see that in just a few moments. But the fact is that Mark's favorite term, this straightaway or immediately, is used 40 times within his gospel. Larger than any other, or this word is used more in Mark's gospel than it is anywhere else in the Bible. Because Mark wanted to emphasize the fact that Jesus Christ was moving fast. Things were happening in his life quickly. Jesus Christ was busy. And Mark uses this word, "and immediately." Now, Jesus' words were spoken in Capernaum, but they are also spoken on the Sabbath. Did you see that? It says, "And he went from Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue." The Sabbath is very special because of the fact that this is the declaration day of saying that God created the earth in 6 days and he rested on the seventh, and the seventh was the Sabbath. It was the day of rest. It was the day that God refreshed himself after creating the worlds to which he made. A verse that took on new meaning this week as I studied is in Exodus 31, verse 17, which says this: "It is a sign between me and the sons of Israel forever," God speaking, "for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, but on the seventh day he ceased from labor and was refreshed." Isn't that a beautiful term? Isn't that a beautiful reference to God who created the worlds And then on the seventh day, he refreshed himself. He ceased from labor. And so the Sabbath day was a very special day where everybody sat around and you literally did nothing. You rested on the Sabbath day. But you know, everybody is involved in the Sabbath rest except Jesus Christ. If you look at Jesus Christ and this powerful teacher, many times you find him on the Sabbath day involved rather than in Sabbath rest, in Sabbath work. He saw it as one of the greatest emphasis of his life to be able to go into a synagogue, to be able to go where people gathered, to be able to worship and listen to the Word of God. And he went in there to teach. He went in there to share his words. The powerful teacher went to the place of instruction to be able to instruct the people. Yes, they came. Philo says that synagogues were houses of instruction, where usually the philosophy of fathers and all manner of virtues were taught. It was a place where they sat around and bantered about what one rabbi said compared to another rabbi, what this scripture says according to the law, and so forth, and they bantered back and forth. But Jesus Christ entered Capernaum. Immediately on the Sabbath, he entered into the synagogue, which is the place of instruction, and he began to teach. The word teach here, we're going to see teach a couple different emphases here in this passage, but the word teach right here means that he has come to give instruction. He has come to instruct the people of the pure and beneficial system of truth. Isn't it great to know Jesus Christ comes to instruct us in truth? Do you know anywhere else where there's truth other than from the Word of God? Do you know anywhere where there is confident teaching other than from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ? He comes into the synagogue on the Sabbath in Capernaum to teach. Most people believe that this is a discourse of some length. He didn't just come in and give a few little devotional thoughts, but he was teaching the people. But you know what's funny? As you look at this portion of the Word of God, it does not tell you what Jesus taught. Mark doesn't emphasize the fact of what Jesus taught because Mark's gospel is emphasizing who Jesus was. Mark's emphasizing the fact of who Jesus in all his glory was as he ministered on the earth. But I'll tell you, I couldn't get by of thinking, well, even though Mark is not going to tell us what he taught, I wonder sometimes if we forget all the different areas that Jesus Christ taught about while he was on earth. Now, we don't want to dismiss or ruin the emphasis that Mark is trying to make here, but the fact is that Jesus talked about many different subjects. So possibly what subjects was he talking about today? I have no clue. But I know that as I looked into the Word of God and I began to do research, I found out that Jesus spoke about many different subjects. Possibly he could have been teaching about these: death, resurrection, false prophets, false teaching, sin, Satan, blasphemy, skepticism, hypocrisy, pride, anger, murder, adultery, fornication, divorce, theft, fraud, evil thoughts, covetousness, materialism, worldliness, procrastination, judging, righteousness, faith, salvation, repentance, baptism, works, love, forgiveness, reconciliation, mercy, purity, speech, overcoming the flesh, obedience, submission to authority, faithfulness, perseverance, patience, courage, humility, prayer, marriage, children, the poor, the rich, sorrow, peace, rest, joy, wisdom, death, paradise. I don't know what subjects Jesus was teaching about, but those are ones that we have verifiable that he taught in other places. It's a good possibility he was teaching them a lot of the same truths. It's amazing to think as we look at this powerful teacher, the things that he is trying to impact your life and my life with. He's trying to teach us as the powerful teacher. He has truth, and therefore he wants to come and he wants to revolutionize your spirituality. He wants to revolutionize your worship. He wants to teach you. And do you know what? He wants to teach you how to care for your soul for all eternity. Jesus cares for our soul, I believe, more than he does for our physical bodies. Now, we'll see later that Jesus heals. Jesus is concerned with our physical bodies. He's concerned with us as an entire package. But what his main concern is for our soul. Is our soul right with God? Because the main emphasis of all of Jesus' teachings was repentance. Repenting, asking God to forgive you of your sin, to make sure your soul is right with him. Have you repented of your sin? Jesus Christ asked his hearers to be obedient. The Sermon on the Mount talks about obedience. The two different foundations, the sand and the rock, are talking about obedience. Jesus wants us to be obedient to his teaching. Jesus said very clearly that he is the way, the one way, the only way. There is no other way to get to God other than by him. Jesus is declaring that. Now, we don't know from Mark's gospel what he was teaching, but I really believe that we can look at the whole package of Jesus Christ, this man who is a prolific, powerful teacher, was teaching them the same truths from God his Father teaching them. Mark chapter 8, which we'll see later in this series, is, "For whoever is ashamed of me," Jesus said, "and of my words. In this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in glory of his Father with his holy angels." Jesus Christ came into the town of Capernaum. He came into the on the Sabbath day to the synagogue to teach the people. And please notice with me what took place in verse 22 by the powerful words of Jesus Christ. They were amazed at his teaching. For he was teaching them as one having authority and not as the scribes. May I ask you a question? When was the last time that you were amazed at something that Jesus Christ taught you? When was the last time that you learned a great lesson from the words of the Word of God that transformed your life? When was the last time that you were amazed? And by the way, the idea of amazement means that they were struck in their mind over the teaching of Jesus Christ, this powerful teacher. When was the last time you were amazed at something from the Word of God? This amazement comes in their life because of the fact that they had strong feelings within them, whether it was fear, wonder, joy. Their senses were being moved by what Jesus Christ was saying. The powerful words from the powerful teacher were transforming the lives of the people because they have never heard anything like this before. They were amazed at his teaching, and this word teaching is a little different than the one that we saw earlier in 21, because this teaching means a doctrine, or in other words, Jesus Christ was making a formula out of his teaching so that you started at A and you ended up at Z and he told you everything that was in the middle. It's doctrinal teaching. They were amazed at his doctrine, what he was teaching, because it formulated into truths that they have never heard before. And of course, not only did this amaze them, but it was spoken with authority. Someone has said, if you accept the authority of Jesus in your life, then you accept the authority of his words. It's a good question to ask ourselves. Once again, as we hear the words of Jesus Sunday after Sunday, community group after community group, devotions after devotions, are you ever amazed or have you lost your amazement over the truth of Jesus Christ and what he is trying to teach with his powerful words? Has it become humdrum? Has it become just the thing I do each and every day? Jesus Christ did not argue, he affirmed the truth. Jesus Christ needed no support like the scribes and the Pharisees because they were always looking at what the rabbis had to say. Jesus declared the truth because he is sufficient. Jesus didn't apologize for the truth because he was truth. The world certainly outgrows all these other people, but the fullness of Christ grows in you and me more each and every day. Who else has the authority to speak into our lives and say, truly, truly, I say unto you? No other man has the right to say that but Jesus Christ. He's the strong Son of God, a powerful teacher, and he's the world's most powerful teacher. Jesus Christ knew the mind of God because he was God. Jesus was teaching because he was commissioned by God to come to this earth to represent God on the face of the planet. Have you found in your life that there is a doctrine from Jesus Christ that is astonishing? The more you hear his word, the more you admire it, and you fall at the feet of the powerful teacher and listen to him. I think we all need to become better at that, wouldn't you agree? But you notice that it says that it's even better than, with greater authority and better than what the scribes used to teach us or have taught us in the same scenario, in this town of Capernaum, in the synagogue, on the Sabbath. We've heard the scribes continuously, but there's something different about this man. He's a powerful teacher. He's different than the scribes. What were the scribes? Well, the scribes, I don't think, were too good of teachers of the Word of God. I think what we could call them in our day and age are just a bunch of religious people who by rote and memory and by philosophy thought they really knew what they were teaching. But in reality, they didn't. They asked everybody that, because I am a scribe, I deserve honor from you. They looked for the most prominent places in society. They were very closely connected with the Pharisees, and of course, you know, the Pharisees are known as hypocrites. The scribes and the Pharisees, very often mentioned together. The scribes were the religious leaders who taught the law, expected external formalism, but instead of helping in their moral and spiritual lives, they became an instrument from preventing people from true access to God. Isn't it a shame to think that so often in the day and age of we live, that it can be the religious people that lead people away from God more so than even unbelievers? By what they write or what they think or what they stand for? That's opposite to what Jesus Christ wants to teach. That's opposite to what Jesus Christ wants to accomplish. They had no power in their message. No one learned anything from them except for how to do it according to their standard. Jesus Christ brought that to a different level. They heard something that they'd never heard before, and to be honest with you, Jesus Christ was in direct conflict with the scribes, the religious leaders of that day. I truly believe that many books, TV shows, radio programs are in direct conflict to what the powerful teacher is trying to teach. We need to be aware and careful that we are not following the words of the scribes, but we are following the words of Jesus Christ. We need to be students of the Bible at his feet, listening to the powerful teacher, because the fact is that some of the scribes can lead us away from the truth. Jesus Christ. Who is this man? He's a powerful teacher. He's a powerful teacher, and it's verified by his words, because his words were like nothing else, different than anything anybody else has heard. But not only was this powerful teacher verified by his words, but also by his works. And we begin to see that in verse 23. Just then, or immediately, that's that phrase that Mark uses consistently, meaning something changed quickly. Just then, there was a man in the synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out. Jesus Christ is teaching a wonderful message. People are being amazed. Lord willing, lives are being changed. And yet at the same time, the evil one is right there. Isn't it true that so often when you give out the truths of Jesus Christ, the great words of Jesus Christ, that there's always a conflict? That there's always something else in your mind that says, yeah, well, is that really true? I'm not too sure if that's true. Yeah, Jesus says this, but I'm not really sure. And here's the evil one coming into our minds, coming into our hearts to deter us from the truth that Jesus Christ is trying to declare. So it is, Jesus Christ is teaching, but there is always an enemy close by to divert what he's trying to accomplish. Listen to what 1 John chapter 3, verses 7 and 8 says. Little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of Man, Jesus Christ, this man, this powerful teacher, has appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. That's what Jesus Christ has come. As Jesus Christ is teaching and this one comes into the midst and this evil spirit comes, he says in verse 24, saying, what business do we have with each other? Jesus of Nazareth, have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Here we have Jesus Christ talking to the evil spirit, to the unclean spirit. Do you notice that the conflict isn't between the man and Jesus Christ? Did you notice that it's between Jesus Christ and the evil one, the unclean spirit? That's the battle that's taken place in your life and mine today. It's a battle against Jesus Christ who lives within me in the evil which is in the world. The Apostle Paul said that the things that I want to do, I don't do. The things that I don't want to do, I do. Oh, wretched man that I am, it's no longer I, but sin that dwells in me. And here we have this conflict of this evil spirit talking to Jesus Christ. And notice with me in verse 24 that the evil spirit, this one who is evil par excellence, addresses Jesus in two different ways from verse 24. He says, Jesus of Nazareth. You know what that is? That's just the slang term for Jesus. It's just a normal name. And it's a normal guy who lives in normal Nazareth. That's who that is. The devil, or this evil spirit, I'm not going to say it's the devil, but the evil spirit says, Jesus of Nazareth. He's just addressing him as a normal person. For Jesus was known many times as Jesus of Nazareth, Joseph's son, so forth. But then the evil one says, have you come to destroy us? He knows that Jesus Christ has a great power. But then he says, oh, I know who you are, the Holy One of God. That's a wonderful truth, is that even the evil spirits know who Jesus Christ is. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, be quiet and come out of him. And do you know what happened? He came out. Folks, listen, if even the evil spirits obey the powerful teacher, don't you think you and I should too? The works of Jesus Christ verify that his words are powerful. His word said, come out of him. And of course, he also said, be quiet. Basically, be muzzled, you rotten animal. And the evil spirit, by the works of Jesus Christ, once again, we verify the fact that he is a powerful teacher. Because in verse 26, throwing him into convulsions, the unclean spirit cried out with a loud voice and came out of him. The works of Jesus Christ verify his words, because when his words speak, there's something that takes place, and therefore a great work was accomplished in getting rid of this evil one from this man. Verse 27, and they were all amazed, so that they debated among themselves, what is this? A new kind of teaching with authority. He commands even evil spirits, and they obey him. Isn't it a shame to say that he commands us as Christians, and sometimes we don't obey him? But the evil spirits obey. And so his works verify his powerful words, because he's a powerful teacher. And of course, in verse 28, immediately the news spread all about him everywhere and surrounding in Galilee. And immediately, once again, that word that Mark likes to use, after they came out of the synagogue, they came into the house of Simon and Andrew and James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was lying with sick and fever, and immediately they spoke to Jesus about her. Isn't it great to know that whenever we have problems, even physical problems within our lives, we can bring them to Jesus? And he came to her, Jesus came to her and raised her up, taking her by the hand. And the fever left her, and she waited on them. And you know what's amazing about that? She was healed perfectly, permanently, and she was healthy from the moment Jesus Christ healed her. And so it is that she ministered to them. Once again, the works of Jesus Christ verify his words. And that evening came after the sun had set. The Sabbath is over now. And they began bringing him all who were ill and all who were demon-possessed. And the whole city gathered at the door. And he healed many, Matthew says all, who were ill with various diseases and casting out demons. And he was not permitting the demons to speak because they knew who he was. Jesus Christ was a man who was a powerful teacher because of the words that he taught, because of the works that he had done, but also the authority that he has. He has authority over people to tell them what to do, how to do it, and they are amazed at his teaching. It's verified by his authority over evil spirits, because he even tells with his words evil spirits what to do, and they obey. He has authority. He is a powerful teacher because he has authority even over sickness. He can take Peter's mother-in-law by the hand and the sickness goes away. Jesus Christ, a powerful teacher by his words. Are his words affecting your life? Are they affecting mine? Verified by his works, is there a great work of Jesus Christ being accomplished in your life? In my life? Do you acknowledge his authority, because his word is more powerful than any person, any evil spirit, or any sickness? If God wants us healed, I believe he can heal us without any question. And you know, may I say this, that I believe that every evil is under the control of the powerful teacher. I do not believe Satan or his cohorts have any ability to attack us or hurt us outside of the powerful teacher's guidance and direction. This is the powerful teacher that we have. Is he your powerful teacher? For we have this last little phrase. Since Jesus is a powerful teacher, I should let him teach me. Is he teaching you? Are you being changed? Since Jesus is the powerful teacher, verified by his words, his works, and his authority, is that true in your life, and is that true in my life? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege that we have of allowing you to teach us. And Father, we pray that you'll do that. May your words permeate our hearts and lives. May your works be displayed within our lives. May your authority be shown by our obedience. We will thank you for what you accomplish in your time and in your way as we are submissive to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus Christ teaches us by his words. If the ones who are going to serve communion will come forward, please, and take your places. Jesus Christ has many words to say about communion also. First of all, it says that you should not eat and drink in an unworthy manner, but you should examine yourself first of all. I hope you will do that at these moments as the elements are being passed, to examine your heart, to examine your life, to see if you're in a right relationship with Jesus Christ. And you know you can be. Just confess your sin. He is faithful and just to forgive your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And we don't want to eat and drink in an unworthy manner. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior from sin, you don't have a personal relationship with him, we'd like you to ask you to just pass the elements, or in the quietness of your heart at this moment, ask him to be your Savior, for he loves you with an everlasting love. We want to be mindful that this remembrance of this bread is a remembrance of his body. And the remembrance of this cup is the remembrance of his blood that he has shed for you and me. We want to do this with reverence, awe, and respect, because that's what he deserves. He's a powerful teacher, and he's speaking to us through his words, his works, and his authority. We want to participate in this time of the elements. And we'd like to, first of all, have a word of prayer over the bread that we are to partake of. And I'll ask John Jeter, please pray for the bread.
Heavenly Father, we know from Scripture that your Son humbled himself to the point of death on our behalf. And it was not just any death, Lord, but it was... He offered up his body for a gruesome death on the cross. Lord, thank you, Lord, that our position with you, our hope in you, is not dependent on what we've done, but on his finished work. And Lord, we thank you. May we never forget what he did when he offered his body for our sakes. Amen.